right, so I'm Greg Corbin. I'm the founder, the executive director of the Philadelphia Youth Poetry Movement. And yes, clap it up, guys. Right now, what we're known most for is basically helping young people discover the power of their voices and not only change their lives through poetry, but change their lives in a way where it helps them grow as individuals. Okay? When you look at slam poetry, spoken word, poetry in general, or any way of writing that you may engage in, it could be journalism, it could be blogging, it could be whatever. It's an amount of expression, exploration, education, and then empowerment. And that's what's most important. We're talking about the state of now, and if we're talking about the state of now when it comes to our young people, we really have to give them something tangible, something they can believe in, something that they know that they can do themselves as far as changing the world and being progressive in it. In 2006, the Philadelphia Youth Poetry Movement was started. And the idea of it was to give young people a safe space. Now, what's a safe space? A safe space is a place where people can come. They can tell their story, they can be who they were meant to be, they can explore their education, explore their character, their identity, and themselves. It's a place where you can express yourselves emotionally, you can cry, you can laugh. If you feel like you want to, you're embarrassed all of a sudden, you can do that. And what I saw that was so beautiful about the event was you had not only young people there, but you had their parents there, which, so you can clap, y'all can clap. We were closing the generation gap, and I thought that was one of the most important things. And we're talking about telling our story. What will your story be? If that's the one question you want to leave today with out of this conference, what will your story be? What will your legacy be? How will you be remembered? Why will people talk about you? There is a serious, I guess, lucky extreme. When you talk about people who are discussed 100 years after their death, most people won't even be mentioned unless it's within their family and their bloodline. But what does it take to be John F. Kennedy or Martin Luther King or Harriet Tubman or James Madison? Or you can think about people that existed like King Tut, Queen Nzinga, people that existed before Jesus even came. What type of legacy will you leave? And with these words, you get to construct, build, create, and live out your legacy. And that's the most beautiful thing about this. You're in control. You're empowered. Our young people need a space to be empowered. Education. Why is it important to stop measuring our young people with data and statistics? Because you can't measure creativity. And creativity is the closest thing to God. So how would you measure that? And that's deep. How do you measure creativity? And we try to do it every chance we get. How many people got a favorite artist right now? Whether it's a rock and roll, R&B artist, singing. Just yell some out real quick.
Loud Lovett.
Huh?
Loud Lovett.
Loud Lovett. I didn't think he was going to go there with me.
All right. Kanye West.
Kanye West, okay. All right. I'm a person, don't get it confused. I am regular. Okay.
Rose Allison.
Mose Allison.
Mark Collin.
Mark Collin. Okay, I don't know who that is, but we're going to run with it. Okay, anybody else?
Jill Scott.
Let's take a long walk. I'm not going to sing because you're probably going to throw up.
All right.
Huh?
Bela Fleck.
Oh, I did hear that. Okay. Anybody else? One more. Let me get one more. Huh? Steely Dan. Okay. Okay, somebody yell something. I got to respect it. Huh?
Rob Zombie.
Mitt Romney. She's a Rob Zombie. Kind of the same person. Most scary. So what I want to do is I want to bring up one of my young people that's been working with me about the last 2 years. She is an awesome talent, an awesome person. She has a poem that's going to explore education, teaching, and curriculum all in one blow. And I want her to really, really lay it on y'all. And I believe that you will be inspired. She was on the team in 2010. We do this event every summer where we go to Brave New Voices, which is an international poetry competition. We won last year. That makes us the world champion. Woo! Now, we are raising money volunteer ran organization, meaning we need money before we get burned out and fall over. We don't want to stop doing this beautiful, beautiful work. So I will reiterate the fact that we need donations. This is social media everywhere around me. I think you can tweet, Tumblr, whatever else you want to do with it. Give a huge round of applause from the 2010 and 2011 team. 2010 and 2019. Give a round of applause for Sunia Douglas.
When I become a teacher, I put a map of the world on every wall in my classroom. My students will always know to have a universal mindset. When they hear freedom, they'll think of more than spirituals and emancipation. They'll remember the stinking pits at Baba Yar, the curled steel at Auschwitz, Sarajevo's rifle butts, Cambodia's grit and sweat and death. These classroom walls will not fence their minds. Eyes will be opened again. Instead of asking my students to adjust to my teaching style, fawn and silent awe over my genius, I will ask them how they learn. Then tend to the visual, auditory, and tactile learner the best way I can. They'll never doubt their place in my plan. Confuse our classroom for a cookie-cutter stage where they can sit on their hands. I'll take criticism, gather it like gold dust between my fingers, never satisfied. I will practice my practice forever. My classroom will be painted bright blues and yellows, along with students' drawings, murals, and poetry, displays of me magazines and word walls, scenes from books acted out, mock trials. I will appreciate their creativity. I will teach my students inquiry, ask them questions about the world around them, their opinions on issues from healthcare to the Palestine wall. I won't talk at them, but with them. We'll have discussions and debates. I'll ask them how they feel about Pennsylvania finding money to build 3 more prisons but not having enough funding for schools. Or how they feel about districts spending millions on standardized tests and curriculum but not having enough for extracurricular activities. They will be informed. My students will be poets, storytellers, artists, activists, analysts, all while being beautiful. Every day I will tell them they are beautiful. Thank you.
Somebody say, you're too big, you're too small, or your clothes are dirty, you don't have no name brand clothes, so I can totally exploit the fact that you don't have money. Anybody ever been in a position like that? Raise your hand if you've been bullied. Okay. Now, for the people that didn't raise your hand, it started to make me think about, have you ever had the gas company or the electric company tell you that they were going to cut off your electric or your gas because you didn't pay at a certain time? And then they call you and they start dropping all these deadlines on you. I feel like I've been bullied. I'm just saying. I don't know about you. But I know from my own experiences of being bullied, I was a chubby, overweight kid who really dealt with obesity in many different ways, had a food addiction. I was in love. I was so in love. Like, I had a crush on this girl, right? And this girl was beautiful. And I would go to the corner store all the time to see this girl, and my mom would give me an allowance. Everybody got allowance, right? My mom would give me an allowance, and I would get $1 a day, and sometimes I would save up. I was stacking, you know what I mean? I was, you know, trying to keep my money. So I would try to take the girl to the movies, but I was only in the 4th grade. My mom wasn't letting me get on public transportation. And I would really be like, yo, please, please go out with me. And she was the most beautiful girl, white girl, I swear, blue eyes, and her her name was Little Debbie. Strawberry shortcakes, Swiss rolls, donut sticks, honey buns. Sometimes I cheated on her with tasty cakes. And I mean the addiction. Oh my God. Oh, had the moment. And sometimes Reese's cups came through the back door and I just. But that led to me being overweight and obese, and I dealt with it in certain ways, and I was called names like, yo, Twinkie! And I was like, why are you calling Twinkies? Like, Pillsbury! And they would like poke me in my stomach to see if I would laugh. And then y'all would laugh at me, we don't want to get sad. I was just feeling sorry for me, just making a point though. And then they would say stuff like, if I squeeze you, will cream come out your mouth? So, you know, and but as a grown man, it doesn't affect me unless I let it. You know, when you have that moment, you're real sad during the day, I need therapy. You know, one of those moments. But when you're a kid and you start thinking about suicide and you start thinking about how you're not good enough, you don't like yourself, it's really a dark place. And if you don't have the communication or the skills to articulate how you feel, it can be a very, very, very dark place. So, I have a young man I've been working with for about 5 years. His name is Yusef. Goes by the name of Seth. And he is going to do a poem based on culture, how he dealt with bullying, and the maintenance of communication itself.